my do-over. I just want to encourage you in this. You get a chance every day to wipe the slate clean. Some of you that are a little younger won't remember the days of typewriters, but when I went to high school, I took a class in typewriting. And typewriting was fine unless you made a mistake, and then you either had to retype the entire sheet or use whiteout. You know, the days of computers are much nicer for our kids. You go along on your computer, you type it in, you make a mistake, you just go up and highlight it and delete it, and it's a do-over, isn't it? You get to retype it and put it the way you want it. In our Christian lives, we get that chance every single day to blot out all the errors and to refresh ourselves in God. What a blessing we've got. So Romans chapter 3, verse 21. If you stand with me, we'll honor God's word as we read it together. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of His blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance He had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate His righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. Because of what law? The law that requires work. No, because of the law that requires faith. For we maintain that a person is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. Heavenly Father, we're grateful for Your word. We're grateful, Lord, we live in the time of God's grace. Father, help us to receive the grace, and not to receive it in vain, but to use it exactly what You've given it for, that we might be restored. And Lord, we're going to give You the praise today in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I enjoy going to cemeteries, and I know that may seem like a strange thing, but I enjoy reading the tombstones, and I just enjoy some of the sayings that are written on them. I'll give you an example. One old tombstone had written on it, "Pause, stranger, as you pass me by. As you are, I so once was I. As I am now, so you will be. So prepare for death and follow me." But somebody underneath that inscription had written, just with a little scratch thing, and this is what he wrote: "To follow you, I'm not content until I know which way you went." I don't know about you, but I don't want to follow somebody in death and go to the lake of fire. I'll be glad to follow somebody in death and go to heaven. That's fine. But there's other tombstones, too, that are quite cute. One said on the tombstone, "Gone to Walmart." Now, I don't mind Walmart. It's a nice little store, but I got to think heaven's a whole lot nicer than Walmart, you know? And so it's just funny what people write. One of my favorite ones was written by a woman, and it simply says, "I told you I was sick." Nobody would believe her, but she was sick and passed away. You know, when I look at the tombstones, I don't know about you, but one of the first things I look at is the date they were born and the date they died. That tells a lot about a person, in the sense that, oh, it's too bad they died at 53. That's too bad. But if they die at 19, we say, that's tragic. They missed such an important part of their life. If they die at 90, you say, wow, good long life. Nothing wrong with that. But you know what's really important is the thing that's between those two dates, that little dash, because that was your life. We're all going to have two dates sooner or later. If the Lord doesn't return in our lifetime, One of these days soon, I'm going to be gone. And it might be a little later that you're going to be gone, but sooner or later, you're going to be gone too. Do you know what the death rate in the United States of America is? It's 100%. Do you understand? Everybody is born to die. We have a limited time on this earth because of sin. That was not God's original intent. When he made Adam and Eve, he made them with bodies that weren't going to age and weren't going to die. In fact, nothing was going to die. There wasn't going to be any death. What brought death was sin. When Adam and Eve chose to sin, they brought death into this life. Such an important thing to make sure that we get our dash right. Because you're only going to go through this lifetime one time. This is not a practice run. This is your life on this earth as we know it. Now, you are going to live forever. I hope you understand that too. As your real estate agent would tell you if they were going to sell your house, what's the most important thing about your house? Location, location, location. Like that tombstone had etched into it, I'm not willing to follow you until I know where you went. Folks, location. You're going to go to one of two places when this life is over. At death, you're either going to go to heaven to be with your Lord, or you're going to go to hell, which is Hades, which is an awaiting place for the final judgment, and then you're going to be cast in the lake of fire. Only two places the Bible talks about for eternity. And so it's important to know which way you're going, and we're going to talk about that today. But I want to talk to you much more importantly about the dash that you have right now. What are you doing with your life? In Psalm 39, verse 4, show me, Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting my life is. You've made my days a mere handbreadth, the span of my years as is nothing before you. Everyone is but a breath, even those who seem secure. I can't believe it, but I'm a great-grandparent, and I wonder where in the world did the years go? My little granddaughter that used to live right next door to me, she had the biggest brown eyes, just little, playing out in the yard because I was able to give my kids some property, and they raised their kids right there with us. That little brown-eyed girl is now about to have a little girl, and it's just hard to believe. My life, whew, it just seemed like it was so quick. I can remember being in high school and thinking, man, this is never going to end. But it did. And then the time flew, and 50 years have gone, well, 60 years almost now have gone by since I graduated. I want you to know there are some doors in your life that you dare not miss in your dash. Because there's one time you get to choose, and that's during the dash. Jesus Christ is the door of resurrection. You know, they tell us now there are 8 billion people on this earth. That's an amazing thing. Over 8 billion. Do you know that out of those 8 billion, only 2 billion claim to be Christian? So we are a quarter of the faith of people on this earth. There are 2 billion, approximately, Christians claiming to be Christians. How many are truly born again? I cannot tell you, but it's a quarter. Do we have a mission field? All around us, folks, there are people in our country that do not know the Lord as their Savior. And so our Lord wants us to know that you're fortunate if you're part of that 2 billion, but you're even more fortunate if you really know Christ as your Savior. Because there are many people that call themselves Christians that are not born into God's family. Jesus told a very religious man, unless you're born again, you'll never see the kingdom of God. In Matthew chapter 25, verse 5, it says the bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, here's the bridegroom. Come out to meet him. Folks, you have to be ready when the bridegroom comes. You have to have been born again, or you're going to miss the party. You won't pass go. You won't collect $200. We're going to talk about Monopoly in a while, but you won't collect that. I love it that Jesus Christ is the difference between heaven and hell. I love it that it's not my good works. I love it it's not because of something I did. It's simply because of whom I have believed in. Every promise, every claim that Jesus made about himself came to pass. In John chapter 2, verse 19, Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days. You know, if you go to all the religious leaders that have ever been on this earth and you go to their graves, their bones are still there. Their flesh has decayed and gone, but the bones are still there. You go to the tomb where Jesus Christ was, there's no bones. He rose bodily from the grave. He's the only one. Irenaeus, the early church leader, said, "The glory of God is a man fully alive." We serve a Savior who's alive today. He's in heaven waiting for us, preparing a place for us. He wants us to live life that's full. He wants you to know him intimately so that the song we sang there, "He keeps me singing, he puts a song in my heart." I hope you've got a melody all the time. Even when my heart is breaking, I can still turn to the one who loves me best. And I can have a song of praise for him. Folks, one of the greatest needs that mankind has is to know that they're loved. We want to know our parents love us. We want to know that our friends love us. But the most important thing is to know that God, who created you, loves you. And he's given you a promise. Everybody else may desert you, and sometimes they will. But he's promised, "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you." So the problem goes all the way back to Adam and Eve, the problem of not knowing God as Savior, not walking with God. Adam and Eve were created in a beautiful spot, the Garden of Eden. Everything they could ever want was right there. It was all prepared by God. It was all completed. There was just one rule. The one rule was, "You shall not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For in the day you eat of it, you will die." The word death or dying means separation. Physical death is separation of your spirit or your soul from your body. Spiritual death is the separation of you from your God. And when Adam and Eve chose to eat from that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, Satan lied, as he does so much. Satan still lies to us today. If you'll just do this, boy, you'll be like God. You'll be a mature person. It's always a lie. We have to obey our Lord in order to have that song in our hearts. When Adam and Eve ate from that tree, they were separated from God. They died spiritually. And so they needed to be born again just like we do. There was a wall of separation, sin separates you and I from God. And they were separated. It's like a wall that's built up through our sins, and we can't get to God. In fact, instead of loving and knowing God, we began to fear God. Now, the fear of the Lord is a good thing, but the fear of God is not a good thing. It says in Genesis 3:8, "Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord called to the man, 'Where are you?' He answered, 'I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. So I hid.'" God is not pleased with us when we disobey him. But God wants to have fellowship with us. And the only way that can happen is for us to open the door of a do-over. And we can only open that door through one person. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't get a do-over because I try harder. I don't get a do-over because I just cry out, "I'm so hurting and lonely." You know, the Bible talks about two kinds of repentance. There's a worldly, earthly repentance that I'm sorry I got caught. I'm sorry I'm suffering the pain. Judas had earthly repentance. Godly repentance, I think it's 2 Corinthians 7:10, says godly repentance frees us from the past. It'll free you from the burdens of your sin. But earthly repentance, I'm sorry I got caught, I'm sorry I got to pay the price, will never free you from anything. A lot of people are worldly sorry, but they're not sorry towards God. What God wants you to do is move from worldly sorrow to godly sorrow, turning to Him as the door that will set you free. In Romans chapter 3, verse 21, it says, "But now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ." A couple words in that last verse that are important. Justified. When you're justified, that word is a legal term, and it means it's just as if you had never sinned. When you come to faith in Christ and you believe that His blood washes away all your sin, that's exactly what it will do. He'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness. The word redemption, it means to buy back. You and I were slaves to sin. There was no way for us to get free from it. But when we placed our faith in Jesus Christ, guess what? I'm not bound by sin anymore. I can learn, according to God's word, to say no to sin and ungodliness, and I can live a godly life. Now, not perfect. I'm not saying I'm perfect. Believe me, nobody who knows me believes that I'm perfect. But I can live a godly life, and I should. But the good news of the do-over is found in 1 John 1:9. We don't have it in the notes because I wanted to give you this special. 1 John 1:9, this is written only to Christians. This is not for a non-Christian. If you're here today and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, this is not a promise to you. But if you are here and you have received Jesus Christ, this promise is for you. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins, and He'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What does that mean? You and I sin every day. I try not to. I really try to live a godly life. But every day, thought, word, or deed, something I do is not quite right. I don't have to hold on to that. I don't have to allow that to hold on to me. I can come to Jesus Christ, I can confess my sins, and He does the do-over. He not only forgives the sin, but then He begins the process of cleansing it out of my life. Folks, I don't want to keep doing the same stupid thing over and over and over. I want to learn, and I want to grow, and I want to be more like Jesus Christ. If you don't believe in Jesus Christ, the way to salvation for most people on this earth, and even for many people that go to churches and claim to be Christians, is works. Yes, I did sin, but I'm really trying harder now to live right. I'm going to get right with God, and I'm going to do what He tells me to do. Folks, that's another gospel. That is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. By the works of the law, or by any works, nobody's ever going to be made right with God. You don't get a do-over like that. There's one way to get a do-over in your life, and that's by trusting in Jesus Christ and His shed blood. It's the only one you're ever going to get. In John chapter 10, verse 7, "Therefore Jesus said again, 'Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They'll come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I've come that they may have life and have it to the full. Folks, our Lord Jesus Christ wants you to know you're never going to get right with Him by trying harder. You're never going to get right with Him by keeping the rules, whether that's the Old Testament law, whether that's the rule of any church you might attend. You're never going to get right that way. It's only through faith in His shed blood. It's the only hope we have. In Ephesians 2, verse 8, it says, "For by grace you have been saved. Through faith, and this not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." I just want to go back through that verse real quickly and explain it. For by grace are you saved, through faith. Grace, what does the word grace mean? It means God's unmerited favor. I didn't earn it. In fact, I can't earn it. I have to receive it by faith. It's not a means of baptism or church membership or giving money to the church. None of that counts. It's stuff you should do as a Christian, but only because you are a Christian, not because you're trying to be one. You already are in Christ, or all the works you can do will do you no good. And so it's extremely important we come to Him through faith. It's a gift of God from start to finish. In fact, even the faith is not from yourself. You didn't figure this out. I didn't either. We're not smart enough. By wisdom, the Bible says no man is ever going to be justified in God's sight. You didn't figure it out. I didn't figure it out. God revealed to us. God gave us the faith to say, "That's what I believe." Because Satan keeps all of us blind until the Holy Spirit touches us. And then we can really come to saving faith. Jesus Christ is the door of reconciliation with God. There is no other door that will get you right with your Lord. The door of reconciliation, because Christ on the cross paid for your sins so that man could be reconciled. Now, the word reconciled means put back together, put back in fellowship. Jesus Christ is the only way for you to get right with God. All the works you could ever do won't help you one bit. All the good things you've ever done are not going to help you one bit unless you lay the right foundation. The Bible says the only foundation you can lay is faith in Jesus Christ. So my do-over comes as a part of the gospel story. Because we are Christians, we've been made right with God. We've been reconciled to God. God now accepts us as His children. We are part of God's family. That's why when Jesus told Nicodemus, "Unless you're born again, born into God's family through faith in Christ, there's nothing you can do that'll ever please Him." The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, "Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe, number one, that he exists." There's a lot of people who don't believe there is any God. We just evolved. This is all a cosmic accident. But you have to have faith in God. You have to believe that he is and that he richly rewards those that diligently seek him. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward when I get home to heaven. I'm going to get an eternal reward that's going to be so wonderful, because I've been seeking him. It isn't a matter of what you're doing, it's seeking him. And then he tells you what to do, but it's wonderful to know the Lord. You know, some of you maybe saw, the movie, The Bucket List. It was out, 10, 15 years ago. And The Bucket List was a story about two men who found out they were about to die. Both these men, one was rich, one was not rich. And they decided together, "We're going to make up a bucket list of things we've always wanted to do but never took the time to do." And in their bucket list, they came up with they wanted to skydive. And they wanted to drive a race car over 150 miles an hour around a racetrack. That was wonderful. You know, I've been a hospice chaplain now for almost 20 years. And I deal with people that know within 6 months they're going to be gone, almost certainly. You know, I've never had one say on my do-over list, I wish I could skydive. I wish that I could run a race car at 150 miles an hour around a racetrack. Do you know what people want the do-over in? I wish that I could tell my wife how sorry I am when I failed her. I wish I could get things right with my sons and my daughter. I wished I hadn't wasted so much time doing what I thought was important that I realize now is not important at all. Folks, we need to get this dash right. What do people care about when they're actively dying? They care about faith. I'm going to see a man today that I haven't seen in over a year and a half. His wife was on our care, and she passed away a year and a half ago. And I talked to the man after the death and said I could come and visit you often as you want and help you get through this time of grief. He said, no, I'm good. Well, now, last week, back Thursday, he had a heart attack. And he's in the hospital. He's going to have surgery either today, later, or tomorrow. And he had his daughter get a hold of me. He wants to talk to me. Folks, pray for that man. His wife was a believer. I don't think he is. What he wants to know is he's concerned about his faith. Is his faith going to save him? Folks, that's what people care about. What's next? I know I'm going to die, but the Bible says very clearly God has put into every human heart the knowledge that this is not all there is. We were created for eternity. We were created to have fellowship with our God for all eternity. And this man is feeling that now. He wants to get things right with his family. He wants to get things right with his friends. I'm going to tell you, when is the best time to do that? Not when you think you're about to die. Now's the time. Folks, we wait and we wait for the right time. Do you know the right time's never going to come? Sometimes you got to jump out and just say, Lord, help me get this done. I want to have peace in my family for however many days I have left. I want to be right with you. I want to understand what's going on. The concern is, how do I get it right? How do I get a do-over with my husband, my wife, my children? How do I get a do-over? And Lord, it all comes down to this. You have to step out in faith and say, Lord, if you'll help me, I'll do everything today that I can to make things right. In Philippians 4:13, sometimes you think you can't do it. But Philippians 4:13, it says, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. You can do it. You can cry out to God. You can say, Lord, I don't want to fear death anymore. Do you know God has made a way so that a Christian never has to fear dying? I'm looking forward to dying. I hope you are. And if you're young, don't get excited if you don't yet. As you get a little older, you will. You'll be glad. Okay, this body doesn't work the way it used to. I don't have any hair here. I got hair everywhere else, but none here. The eyes don't work right. The ears don't work right. The body, yesterday I had to pick up sticks around my yard because we had a pretty big wind. I'm aching today all over, and I'm going to be glad when that's done. Folks, heaven, knowing that you're going to heaven, knowing that you're never going to be sick again, I won't need glasses. I won't need medicine. I won't need any of that ever again. Folks, heaven is something that we should not fear. Eternal life, you might fear it if you don't know for sure you're going to heaven. But because we are Christians, we are free from worry about what's next. God has told us what's next. He said it's so wonderful that he's prepared for us. You know, today, people go to Disneyland. If men can make something as wonderful as Disneyland, I mean, it's wonderful. If you've been there, it's everything's beautiful, everything's maintained well. It's fun. If men can do that, think what God can do. Jesus Christ said, I'm going there to the Father's house to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will doubtless come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Folks, I'm looking forward to that day. You know, I used to love to play Monopoly. I talked about not pass and go and not getting $200. But, you know, you learn some things from Monopoly. The reason we used to play Monopoly as kids is we didn't have money to do anything else, okay? We couldn't go to all the places kids get to go today. But when you play Monopoly, there are a few properties you've got to spend everything you've got to get if you're ever going to win. There are times in life, just like the game of Monopoly, you've got to risk it all. Do you know faith is a leap in the darkness? We know what Jesus said, but to really believe it, to say, I'm putting all my chips on that one thing, that's a leap. I remember I was 25 and I was in the shop, and I had heard the gospel clear from Pastor Williams, my old pastor, for the first time in my life, 25 years old, before I ever heard it. But once I heard it, I told my wife, Mimi, this is what I wanted all my life. I'm going to work. I'm going to study the Gospel of John like he told me. And if it's true, I'm going to receive Jesus Christ today. I want you to do the same thing, Mimi. I got saved that day at work. The next day, Mimi got saved, and it changed everything. I'm telling you, it was remarkable. But when you play Monopoly, there are certain properties you have to risk it all. You may not win if you go broke, but if you don't get those properties, you are going to go broke eventually. The same thing is true with the gospel of Christ. You have to risk it all on believing in one person as your Savior. You have to say, I'm all done with trying to earn my way. I was taught as a boy that if you're a good person, you'll wind up in heaven. So I tried to be a good person. But of course, we all fail that, don't we? James 2:10 says, if you keep the whole law and you offend in just one point, you're guilty of it all. And we all have failed. So there has to be another way. And the good news is there is. Jesus Christ is the only man that never sinned. He did not have a human father. And people say, how could he be born without a human father? That's impossible. What's impossible with man is possible with God. Jesus Christ was born without a human father because the sin nature passes from the fathers to the third and fourth generation. Jesus Christ had no human father, so he did not have a sinful nature, so he could keep the law. The Bible says he's the second Adam. The first Adam could have kept the law, and we would have never fallen into the sin problem we have today. There would have been no death. But the second Adam, Jesus Christ, although tempted by the devil, said no. He wasn't going to go along with that. He lived a perfect life, obeyed to God the Father in every point, shed his blood on the cross to pay for my sin and yours, rose from the dead just as he said. He's now busy preparing a place for those that trust him, and I can't encourage you enough. You have to risk it all. If you can get to heaven without faith in Jesus Christ's shed blood, then there was no reason for Jesus to ever die. If we could earn our way to heaven, we don't need a Savior. But it's because we can't earn it. You know, when you win the game of Monopoly, it's an interesting thing. You just defeated all the other players, man, you're feeling great. But what happens at the end of the game? You put the money back in the box, you put all the pieces back in the box, and you close the box. It's over. So many people are chasing in this life for the things of this life, for the money, the cars, the houses, the boats, whatever. But what happens at the end of the game? When this life is over, what happens? It's gone, folks. In 1 Timothy 6, verse 7, it says, we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we'll be content with that. Folks, quit chasing this world. I'm not telling you don't get a good education, don't get a good job. Those are important things. But spend time with your family while you have time. Don't get so busy that you don't take the time now. Don't miss those vacations. We keep saying, well, I'm going to do that eventually when I get time. I told Mimi that when I first became pastor here 30 years ago, that, well, we'll take those vacations when we get time. Guess what happened? I'm busier now than I've ever been in my life. You have to take the time. You don't dare let your children grow up with no vacations with dad and mom. You don't dare let those kids grow up that you were too busy to be at their games. That's what being a parent is about. Loving your children, letting them know you're there for them. No, you can't make it all. They understand that. But they want to know that you love them now. Folks, you will get a do-over. You will get a chance to make it right. But how much better not to screw it up in the start? How much better to say, Lord, guide my life. Help me to make good decisions with the dash that I've got. I don't know how many years you've got. I don't know how many years I've got left. But whatever I have left, I want to love those that God has put into my life. I want to love them now. I don't want to wait for 10 years or 12 years because they may not last that long. If I've offended somebody, I want to get it right now. I don't want to leave the family feud going for 15 more years. Folks, it's so important we do this. You know, there's a painting put out by Holman Hunt, and it's a famous painting that refers to Revelations 3:20. I want to read Revelations 3:20, and then I'm going to talk about the painting. I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. I don't know if you've ever seen the painting of Jesus knocking at the door. But if you've seen it, maybe you observed something quite interesting. On the outside of that door where Jesus is knocking, there's no doorknob. The only doorknob is inside that door. You are the one that has to open the door of faith. You are the one that has to let Jesus Christ come in. He's a gentleman. He won't force himself on you. But in your dash of your life, whether it's 10 years or 20 or 50 or 90, sometime in that life, you have to make way for Jesus to come in. You have to repent of your sin and you have to ask him to be your Savior. If you ask him, he'll come in. He says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not might be, not could be, will be. But it has to be done. And there's nobody to do it but you. Let me ask you, if you were to die today, because it is a possibility, isn't it? We could be driving home, getting a terrible wreck, and this life, your dash is done. There'll be a date on your tombstone, if it were today, June 23rd, 2024. That'll be the day. But if you were to die today, are you sure you've got eternal life? Are you positive in your heart that your faith is in Christ's shed blood and you know you're going home? Folks, this is the key to so much because the promises of God, many of them, are not for people who go to church. They're for people who know their Lord and Savior. The people who go to church can't get forgiveness of their sins just by confessing to the Lord. The people who know Christ can. There are a lot of people in churches that come week after week that have never been born again, have never confessed Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. I don't know where you are today, but if you want to live a life with no regrets, now, nobody I know lives this perfectly, believe me. But God says if you'll put his kingdom first in all you're doing, you'll have far less regrets. In Matthew 6, verse 33, it says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Folks, if you seek God's kingdom, and the only way to get into that kingdom is through faith in Jesus Christ. And you seek him first with your life. your life won't be in vain. There are many people that are going to live their whole life thinking they're right with God because they're busy in the church. They're busy doing, but they never received Christ. Imagine getting to the pearly gates and they ask, why should you come in? And you say, because I did everything my church told me I was supposed to do. I obeyed all the rules. I did all the stuff. And they say, didn't you know? Haven't you heard that there's only one way? And it's not through doing. It's through believing. It's by personal faith in what Jesus Christ has already done. Some of the saddest words we speak is someday. Someday, I'm really going to serve God. Someday never comes, folks. Someday, I'm going to walk through the rest of this life with my God. I'm going to walk in fellowship. Someday, I'm going to get back reading the Bible. Someday, I'm going to have a quiet time with God every day. Someday, I'm going to share my faith with my family. Someday, I'm going to give that offering that belongs to God. Someday, I'm going to reach out to those we're estranged with. Folks, someday never comes. Today is the day of salvation. Nobody knows what tomorrow brings. If there are problems in your life, today is the day to deal with them. Not tomorrow, not next week, not next month. It's so important you understand these things. In 2 Corinthians 6, verse 1, as God co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, in the time of my favor, I heard you. And in the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. You can't make things right with your family next week because you may not have next week. You can't get saved next week. You may not have next week. We don't know. Whether you know it or not, God has a day already picked out for every single person in this room when you are going to die. God does know that. He knew that before the foundation of the world, but we don't know. And I'm glad we don't know. God wants us to come to him in simple faith, confess him as our Lord and Savior, and then to walk with him day by day. He doesn't want you hiding in the bush. He wants you eager for that fellowship. Today is the day. Today is the day to choose. I'm going to pray a little prayer right now. And if you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I would encourage you to pray along. But if you don't mean it in your heart, just praying this prayer isn't going to save you. It has to be an honest belief. I believe Jesus Christ is my Creator God. I believe he was born of a virgin. I believe he did shed his blood on that cross to pay for my sin. And I believe with all my heart, 3 days later, he rose. Folks, if you'll pray that and mean that in your heart, you can know today you've got eternal life. So pray with me if you would. If you've already received Christ, you don't need to do this again. Heavenly Father, I know that I am a sinner. I believe with all my heart that Jesus Christ shed his blood on the cross to pay for my sin. And today, Lord, I want to receive Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. And I'll give you the praise in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen. Folks, if you did that for the first time, I would love to talk with you afterwards. But I want to tell you, for those of us that are Christians, there's more good news. Every problem you have, Jesus Christ has given us a promise in his word how to deal with that. Don't let it go on. Deal with it. Take an adventure of faith. Leap out there and say, with God's help, I'm going to make it right with my son or my daughter or my mom and my dad or that boss at work. I'm going to get it right. Folks, now is the time. This is the dash. It's all too brief. Those that are young think, man, this is going to go on forever. No, it's not. It's going to come to a screeching halt. We just don't know when. I want to encourage you in Christ, if you're here and you've got things that are separating you, you've got a wall between you and God of your sins. It really is this simple if you're a Christian. You simply confess the sin to God. What I've been doing, whether it's pornography or drinking or sex outside of whatever it is, it doesn't matter. You come to God and you confess it. Lord, I agree with you. The way I've been living is wrong. Lord, if you'll help me, I will stop. Please forgive me my sin and cleanse me of this unrighteousness. God gives you a guarantee. He'll do exactly that for you. You get a do-over. One of the most exciting things in life is to start fresh, because that's what the blessing we have from God. You can start fresh today. Father, we're grateful for your word. We're so grateful for the promises found in your word. Lord, give each of us the faith to believe that you are telling us the truth. And then give us the desire to do exactly what you've told us to do. And we'll give you the praise in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.